Welcome to Good Shepherd Episcopal Church in Venice, Florida. Today is Sunday, May 28th, the day of Pentecost. As you listen to Father John Warfel talk to us today, consider the following. Luke and John gave us differing interpretations of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Which do you most easily relate to? The loud rushing wind in Acts, or the quiet breath of Jesus in John? God still breathes the Spirit into God's people today. When have you felt the Holy Spirit urging you to speak of your faith to others? Father John used the analogy of the body of Christ being like charcoal that is lumped together in a grill and being arranged so the edges glow and touch others to spread the fire. Think of times you have been in church and experienced the Spirit touching you through prayer, song, the lessons, a sermon, or conversations at coffee.
Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to John. When it was evening on the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, so I have sent you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Ever light a pyramid of charcoal, only to return 15 minutes later and find that, despite the initial blaze, the coals didn't light. Now, this only seems to happen when you're hungry or in a hurry, when you're surrounded by a bunch of hungry kids or irritable adults that the coals don't light the first time. So you try again. You squirt more lighter fluid on the smoldering coals, a dangerous move, you know better, but you do it anyway. Then swoosh, big jumping flames. You jump back. This time, however, when the flames die down, you watch, you wait, and you slowly start to blow on the coals. Now, there's a real art to blowing on coals. Any thurifer could tell you that. You start out slowly, a steady and controlled flow of air, directed at the emerging white, ashy corners of the charcoal bricks. And as you blow, the red glow broadens and stretches out beneath the ash. And this red glow expands in direct proportion to the force and the flow of your breath, your tightened and rounded lips controlling the force, direction, and flow. It's kind of fun to watch, isn't it? The Feast of Pentecost. When I was a boy, they called it Whitsunday. It's the day that celebrates the great coming of the Holy Spirit. The events we celebrate today are recorded by Luke and John, but notice that the accounts are quite different. They are different not because one is factual and the other is not. They are different because they reflect the different ways the faithful experience the Holy Spirit. we just heard in the Acts of the Apostles, Luke recounts a very dramatic story indeed. Rushing wind, dividing tongues as fire. Suddenly, the apostles begin speaking in other languages. And meanwhile, this rushing sound draws strangers to the house, among them some Jews from foreign lands. And yet, they hear their own languages spoken clearly and distinctively, and oddly enough, by a bunch of provincial and not too terribly bright Galileans. Generally, this is what comes to mind when we meditate on the great Pentecost event. It's loud, dramatic, uncontrollable, and a little bit frightening, not unlike what happens when a match touches fluid-soaked charcoal. Excitable, volatile, emotionally charged experiences of the Holy Spirit. Pentecostals and charismatic Christians believe that speaking in tongues and other spontaneous displays of religious fervor are all manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And some believe if a person does not experience these, he or she is not saved. Well, I guess I'm just too Episcopalian for my own good. I've never spoken in tongues. And spontaneous public displays of being caught up in the Spirit, well, they leave me cold. Now, I don't deny that they are very real, genuine expressions for many faithful Christians. But whipping up a frenzy within a congregation is not my idea of worship. You see, my soul delights in liturgical worship, purposeful, slow, meditative. Worship experienced by all five senses. Ritual actions fine-tuned by the passing of 2,000 years. Perhaps that's why I relate better to John's account of Pentecost. The great Pentecost event for John occurs quietly, at evening, on Easter day. Gentle, simple, and without great fanfare, Jesus breathes on them, slowly and purposefully. "Receive the Holy Spirit," he says to them. He breathes his peace on them. He breathes his Spirit on them. He breathes on them the commission, and along with the commission, the grace, power, and authority to be the church. This is a lot like purposeful breath blown on any ashy white corners of charcoal. The red glow extending outward beneath the white ash until it touches the edge of another piece of charcoal and passes the energy along. God does this a lot. Sometimes God's breath is so subtle that we don't even recognize it. And are we surprised by this? We shouldn't be. After all, there's a lot of hot air blowing out there, a lot of wind trying to catch our sails, worldly wind jockeying for our attention, our loyalty, our hope for a life well lived. God still breathes on God's beloved community today. Sometimes we might need a dramatic Pentecost event, something to shake us up a bit, something to jumpstart our faith. Sometimes we risk squirting lighter fluid on that smoldering coals, ever ready to jump back once the flame erupts. Now, carrying this analogy just a little further, everyone knows that charcoal is best lit stacked in a pile, not individually. Imagine trying to light the coals of a charcoal grill piece by piece and then tossing each one individually into the grill. Well, it's the same way with the church. the body of Christ. The red glow, the white ash, moves out from one piece of coal to another piece of coal, until the heat of our shared spiritual energy spreads throughout the entire grill. But first, the coals must be gathered, touching, grouped, interconnected. That's the main reason we no longer have private baptisms. Today, the Feast of Pentecost is one of the four feast days of the year, and it's a day that the prayer book designates as particularly appropriate for baptism. The other three are, of course, the Easter Vigil, the Sunday after All Saints' Day, and the first Sunday after Epiphany. Now, we don't have any baptisms today, but it's the Feast of Pentecost, and we renew our baptismal vows just the same. You know, the renewal of baptismal vows is critical because they remind us that our job as baptized Christians is to take turns blowing on the coals, not the coals of judgment and exclusion, but the coals of acceptance and inclusion. If no one fans the embers of faith, hope, and charity, the newly baptized might never come to know the power and grace of a Christ-centered life. If we shrug off our turn to blow on the coals, the red glow may never reach those yearning for personal intimacy with the Creator. It's up to all of us to take turns blowing on the red glow and white ash until we become one single glow, a glow emanating from a group, not just from an individual piece of charcoal. Sometimes we come to church to get jump-started. Sometimes we come to church to touch and pass on the holy. Sometimes we come to church because it's our turn to blow on the coals. And sometimes we come to church to take a break from the busyness and confusion of our lives and to be vulnerable to the movement of God's breath through the breath of others. The Feast of Pentecost, what a great day to celebrate and reclaim our own baptisms. Receive the Holy Spirit. Watch, wait, and start to blow. Amen.